John G. Dooley with the call of Sister Ruler under jockey Roman Constantino, who brought down the curtain on Arlington Park last Saturday. The Illinois bred, along with her trainer Michelle Boyce and owner Hoffman Farms Racing, will go down in history as winners of the final race ever held at Arlington, which is now scheduled to be sold to the NFL's Chicago Bears. That is just one topic we will discuss in this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. Last week's show, we had Wilkin seeing ghosts. Dale was lining up for quesadillas. Who knows what this one's going to bring? Guys, good morning. Let's go ahead and start there. This news about Arlington really does come as no surprise. David McCaffrey, executive director of the Illinois Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, was quoted this week as saying that lack of surprise doesn't make the decision any easier to accept. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. So, Dale, I'm going to start with you. Is this the end of racing in Illinois, or can the industry survive without its longtime flagship venue?
Well, it's one of the saddest days in racing as far as I'm concerned. It rivals. It's right up there with losing Hollywood Park. And, you know, Illinois has a great history of horse racing. Arlington Millions, the first million-dollar race in America. I mean, what are they going to do with the great statue of John Henry and the BART hitting the wire together? If people haven't been there, it's the greatest grandstand in the world. It's just an unbelievable facility. And it's such a shame that Paramutual Racing can't make it in a great city like Chicago. There's so much that plays into it, politics, alternative gaming all over the state. It's just a sad situation. It's a day I never thought would come, even though I've been hearing about it forever. I kept thinking, well, something will happen. Someone will step in and save the place. Someone will purchase it to make it a racetrack. And on the other hand, it's a sad situation to see the Bears leave Soldier Field. As long as I can remember, they've been playing on the water at Soldier Field. It's shifting sands in the sports world. None of it positive in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Timmy?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Dale said, it's horrible. I mean, Citation ran at Arlington. So did Secretariat. I mean, I remember the local pizza man, you know, lighting up the Arlington Million that one year. And then when Arlington had that fire in 85, they rebuilt it into a beautiful, beautiful facility. It hosted the Breeders' Cup in 2002. Unfortunately, that Breeders' Cup might be remembered for the betting scandal when those three knuckleheads were trying to beat the system and almost did, betting it from an OTB in Catskill, New York, near me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I can see why the Chicago Bears want to get out of Soldier Field. It's the smallest stadium capacity-wise in the NFL. I think it's like 61,000. But still, Soldier Field, you think of, you know, midwinter football, snow coming in, and now you're going to have a stadium there that's going to be a dome stadium, and most likely. And it just, that won't seem right. And it just won't seem right to have a football field on top of a once great racetrack that had so much history to it. I think it stinks.
Will the Illinois racing industry be able to survive without Arlington Park? Or is this the end?
Well, I know that they have Hawthorne out there, and I know that they say that they can accommodate everybody there, but Hawthorne also, has harness racing there. So there'd be a lot of downtime. I don't know what's going to happen to a lot of the horsemen that have called Arlington home forever. I feel bad for them. And where do they go? I mean, can they go somewhere else? I don't know. Do they want to go somewhere else? I don't know that either. It's just that, racing in Illinois, I mean, it's one of the third largest, Chicago's one of the third largest cities in the country. And to not have racing there is just, it's going to be a big empty hole.
What about Fairmount Park? FanDuel is involved there now. Is there any opportunity for them to kind of take the ball and run with it in some respects? Not at the same level of Arlington, but Dale, is that a possibility?
Well, I can never see them running at that kind of level. It just doesn't have the population in Collinsville as they do in Chicago. And he just can't, I can't see it happening. They're doing well right now. They had a $200,000 race this summer. You never thought you would have heard that. But I mean, if Fairmont can have a resurgence, I don't understand why Arlington couldn't. I mean, it just seems it's still unbelievable to me. I still have hope in the back of my mind that it will, something will come around and the deal will fall through with the Bears and we'll have racing in Chicago.
Yeah, that is not a done deal.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, but there's still a lot of hoops that have to be jumped through in order for the Bears to make that move to Arlington Heights, Illinois. And I'm sure the city of Chicago is going to make a move.
The other thing, too, Mike, is that the Bears have a lease with the city of Chicago through, I believe it's 2033. And if they want to get out of that lease, they got to pay the city of Chicago like $84 million. So
yep.
I'm sure there's something to that, too.
Well, they just paid $200 million for a building they're going to knock down, a marble, beautiful, gorgeous Taj Mahal of racing that they're going to knock down. So $80 million to get out of their contract doesn't sound like that much.
No, it doesn't. To me, it does. But I don't have those big pockets like you do.
Right. Well, I don't have big pockets, but they must have because they sure are spending it. $200 yeah, million, it probably costs another $50 million to demolish it.
I know, and it's just sickening to feel that, you know, that beautiful building is going to see the wrecking ball. And that's just, it's just not a good day for racing. It really isn't.
No. And I hope it's not a trend that we see growing.
No, that's something that we just do not have to see because, you know, there's got to be more feel-good stories in racing. And this is not one of them.
No, it's going the wrong direction. And, you know, whether Arlington was still as successful as it once was or if it could be again, it's a learning ground for a lot of horse fans and players. And that part's going to be gone. We'll feel the impact more years from now than we feel tomorrow.
Yeah. I agree.
Turn the page. Let's get a good question. Happy question.
Well, I don't know how happy this next topic is going to be, but I think it could be a very good question. Is Churchill Downs Incorporated a villain or a savior for thoroughbred racing? And let me explain. Following that Arlington news, guys, the answer is going to seem extremely obvious to most racing fans. However, the reason I asked this question is because 24 hours after the Arlington announcement, CDI announced that it would be opening a new historical racing machine venue in downtown Louisville, which is going to feature 500 historical racing machines. The venue is expected to create $10 to $12 million per year in additional purse money for Churchill Downs. So I ask you, is Churchill Downs Incorporated friend or foe? Who wants it first?
I'll go first. I think Churchill Downs is a friend of the dollar. And wherever the dollar can be found, they'll be a friend. And as long as paramutual or horses are needed, then they're a friend of racing. The thing at Arlington Park is much more complicated than Churchill just not doing it. There's a lot of them ruining it. It's a lot of politics, like I said, and a lot of fees that were involved and things that the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois could have come a long ways to help Churchill keep Arlington Park open. With that being said, Kentucky is pro racing through and through, and the Frankfurt has worked with Churchill in every aspect of their company and keeping racing healthy. As far as Kentucky goes, they're a savior to racing, and they're doing a great job. As for the rest of the country, it's a little bit sad to sit back and watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's I know that Churchill's being viewed as a villain by a lot of people across the country with some of the things they've done recently with racetracks. I mean, Hollywood Park, Calder, gone, and now Arlington. And supposedly, Churchill decided not to go for a gaming license at Arlington this past time around after wanting to do it for years. So it looked like the writing was on the wall that it was going to go away. And, you know, I understand. And I think, but, you know, on the other hand, I think it's great that, you know, $10 to $12 million in added purse money at Churchill Downs is outstanding for the horsemen that are stabled there. And it'll probably, I would think, entice other people to bring their horses in to run for some of that. But, you know, I see where people are ticked off at Churchill Downs because of that, because of these tracks going away. But it's a business. And if the money's going to be brought in, it's going to be brought in. And I had to do some research on these gaming, these historical racing machines. I guess it just proves that people bet on anything. I mean, you could probably bet on how much a dog poop is going to weigh on a Thursday morning when you take them out for a walk. You can bet on anything, and people will bet on it. So,
except for horses at Arlington Park.
That's right. You can't bet on them anymore. And that's going to be a sore subject for both of us probably as we go forward, because it was such a great place. And
yeah,
I mean,
it's hard to defend Churchill when three iconic racetracks fall to the wayside under their guidance.
It is. And it's, I don't know what it's.
Yeah.
Who does it benefit besides them? I mean, look at all the people. And granted, I mean, when the last day at Arlington Park, they only drew like 7,000 people. People, for the most part, aren't going to the racetracks anymore because you can bet offline, which, you know, I yearn for the days, even though I wasn't around to watch them in the 50s, when you'd look at a Wednesday at Belmont Park or any racetrack and the aprons were full of people because I guess they didn't want to go to work that day, but they bet at the track. Now you don't have to do that. You can sit in your living room and bet, which is, I guess, it's the way of the game now. But I used to love it, seeing a Wednesday afternoon in a packed racetrack. You never see that anymore, unless it's in the summer at Saratoga or in the fall at Keeneland.
That's true.
Yeah, how many were there last night?
There were quite a few. I don't know the exact number, but it was a fun environment, and there were a lot of people there. We got lucky and won a couple of races, so it was we had a good night.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations.
Thank you. I think it was a good day.
Yeah, good day. And Medina Spirit is hoping it will be a good day for him in the Awesome Again Stakes. This is topic number three. The Derby winner returns to action against older horses in today's Awesome Again at Santa Anita after being scratched from last weekend's Pennsylvania Derby. After what we saw from Hot Rod Charlie in that race last Saturday, do we think Bob Baffert made the right call?
Well, I guess we'll find out in a few hours, but you know, he Hot Rod Charlie ran a great race down there in Parks. I was there to see it, and you know, I was, just to revisit that for a second, I was kind of surprised there. I mean, I know why there wasn't an inquiry, but I never thought that horse would be taken down, because I thought he was well clear of Midnight Bourbon. But back to Medina, you know, he's Bob obviously didn't go to Parks. It wasn't because of the post position. He didn't go because I don't think he felt his horse was ready for a optimum performance, and he didn't want to run against those two speed horses. But, you know, this isn't like it's an easier spot either. He's running against older horses, albeit they're not the monsters of the division, but still he's going to be running against the Pacific Classic winner, Pacific Classic runner-up, I believe, and all things being equal, he should win if he's right. And I would anticipate that he's going to run a big effort, a big race today, and I think he wins.
It's going to be hard to tell whether or not he made the right decision. I mean, obviously, if he wins, he did. But if he doesn't win, he probably made the right decision too, because if he doesn't win out there, he wasn't going to beat Hot Rod Charlie the other day. So why ship all the way across the country and run?
Yeah, and again, this is a win and you're in. And, you know, I know Bob pretty well. He probably figures if I win this, it's a win and you're in. They got to let me run in the Breeders' Cup because I won one of those races.
Well, they don't have to, though. It's been proven. They seem in racing the powers to be and do whatever they want.
Yeah, but if it's win and you're in, hey,
right.
Open the door and let me in. I won a race that you said is a win and you're in.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. There's another plot thickens in the story.
Do you guys think that Medina Spirit is ever going to get the respect that he deserves as a Derby winner because of what happened with Bob Baffert and the situation surrounding him?
No, there'll always be an asterisk by his name. He was a long shot running for Baffert, which is unusual, so I don't think he was respected as much as going into the race, and I think afterwards it's even been less. It'd be hard for him to earn the respect that a Derby winner deserves.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, if none of this had happened, then he goes down as it's a great training job of Bob Baffert. If none of this stuff ever came about, you know, saying, well, Bob Baffert, Mr. Derby, has done it again. But because of the circumstances that are surrounding Medina Spirit right now, there's always going to be the doubt in the mind of the people. And that's unfortunate because I still say Bob Baffert is a great horse trainer. I don't think he knowingly, wittingly wants to do anything wrong to a horse. I just don't buy that.
No argument.
All right, one final topic to get to, guys, and it involves Nick's Go, who is going to be a heavy favorite in today's Lucas Classic at Churchill Downs. The Woodward in New York, the Awesome Again in California, both appear to have come up tougher, so it looks like Brad Cox has made the right call. Assuming that Nick's Go takes care of business and he wins the Lucas Classic easily, will that serve the purpose of getting him ready for the Breeders' Cup? And Dale, I'll throw it to you first.
I think so. I mean, he's a natural athlete. You can tell it doesn't look like he takes a whole lot of work and natural speed, natural endurance. It's a perfect spot for him. It's his race to lose. And whenever you can run for this kind of money and still have the same equal prep that you could in other places in the country and walk out of your backyard from your back door like he is here at Churchill Downs, yeah, it's beneficial. So there wasn't any reason to ship. He got a little bit of an easier spot. It's his race to lose. And from there, just go right on into the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, as from a trainer's standpoint, you want to have the easiest race possible and a win as you head into what is the biggest race of the year, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Do you want to have the horse throw it all down in the race before the Breeders' Cup Classic and then have to bounce into the Breeders' Cup Classic? I would think you'd want to have the easiest spot possible, and then you get your horse ready for the Classic. And, you know, sometimes these horses, if they have a big, big effort and they have to run real, real hard, doesn't it take a while for them to recover from that? And maybe they're not at their optimum for the Breeders' Cup Classic. I think Nick's Go is right now lined up perfectly to head to the Classic off of what should, I think, be his, like Dale said, his race to lose. And then right now, I wouldn't bet against him in the Breeders' Cup Classic, I don't think.
Yeah, well, we'll find out later today. Brad Cox, Nick's Go, set to go in that Lucas Classic at Churchill Downs. That is I Ask, They Answer. We're back next week right around 10:30 Eastern with another brand-new edition. We'll tackle some more topics. But, guys, no ghosts, no quesadillas this week, but it was fun.
It was a good conversation. You started out with two. It was too sad to start with.
But we'll make it happier. As we get closer to Halloween, we should revisit the ghost.
Yeah. Next week, let's have some happy topics.
Let's do it. Appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. See ya.